They say that the symphonies of Jan Sibelius are dark and brooding. They're almost like enigmas. We don't often know what he implied. And his symphonies seem to have this sense of epic landscape about them. Well, we'll get a chance to explore that at the next Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra concert when we present Sibelius' Symphony No. 2, a work that he wrote in 1902. As I learn more about this piece and explore it further, one of the things that is really rather striking is that Sibelius takes small little elements, little tiny fragments of a melody or a tune, and they become the building blocks of what he can later turn into something much larger, much grander. There's a microscopic detail involved in the way he treats the orchestra. One of the biographers of Sibelius said, "It's as if Sibelius had taken the lens of his musical imagination and zoomed in on individual pine needles in the vast forests of his Finnish homeland." I think that's a wonderful analogy. The Second Symphony has an atmosphere that's probably related to Finland. I've never been there, but this sounds about right. Finland's summers are not very long. There are no dramatic colors. Everything is muted. And so Sibelius uses the darkest timbres of the orchestra to express this atmosphere. He uses low woodwinds, the bassoons, the clarinets, always the low strings, violas, cellos, basses. He often uses the double basses alone. And this creates that somber atmosphere. The strings begin it, and it sounds sort of like this. It's not really a tune, but it sets up a mood for sure. And we find that it really is an accompaniment of what comes later. There's this sunny phrase that the oboes and clarinets sing out, and it's on top of this string fragment. Later, there's a long, drawn-out melody that we hear in the violins, both first and second violins, played in unison. And it has such length to it. It's as though a singer had endless breath control. That long theme comes back later on in the first movement, but it returns as a full brass statement, and what a difference that makes. The end of the first movement goes back to that little fragment of a string accompaniment that started it all. It's interesting to note that around the turn of the century, in 1902, Finland was going through a rather unusual national fervor. They were striking out against the yoke of their Russian occupiers. the Finnish people were becoming much more aware and proud of their heritage, of their legends, their poetry, their folk songs, their folk dances, and even their own language. For quite a long time, the Finnish language had not been spoken in their country. There is a sense of great protest, I think, in this symphony. And in the second movement, the Andante, there's also a great sorrow. One of the critics of this movement has written that the Andante strikes one as the most broken-hearted protest against the injustice that threatens to deprive the sun of its light and our flowers of their scent. Sibelius starts this Andante with a lugubrious melody in the bassoons, again the low woodwinds. This gloomy melody is heard over pizzicato low strings, cellos and basses. Then, perhaps because of this sense of injustice, the strings as a section have an agitated moment. They play something like this. It has an urgency to it. It's in the same mood as a stark statement that we later hear in the brasses. The brasses ring out with indignation about the atrocities that have been presented to the Finnish people. That same agitation that was in the strings then calms down into something different. Instead of the violent, it becomes resigned, perhaps, calm, and much more peaceful. I'm always amazed at what Sibelius can do with the themes that he creates. They go places that you don't expect them to. In the third movement, again, Sibelius uses the tiniest mosaic to make an impact. He uses one note, just a B flat, repeated, with a little turn under it and over it. And the quickness gives a vibrancy to the movement. In the middle section of this same movement, that B flat appears again. We expect something that's a beautiful, gorgeous, slow melody as a contrast, but instead we get a B-flat that's repeated 9 times. Who else but Sibelius can make a melody of one note 9 times over? The third movement leads without a pause into the finale, and this movement has the big theme. It starts out with just the strings and a hint of what's to come later. And surely enough, it grows and grows until Sibelius makes a huge statement of this simple beginning. The finale continues with a rolling ostinato, an element in the low part of the orchestra that repeats relentlessly. And above that, there's a determined phrase that starts in the woodwinds, builds into the brasses, completes itself in the strings. They say this finale develops towards a triumphant conclusion, painting a picture of confident prospects for the future of Finland. And of course, the symphony ends with an amen. The Kalamazoo Symphony is really excited about presenting Sibelius' Second Symphony to you. It's a piece that has searing intensity, and searing intensity in a cold climate seems to us to be perfect for a Michigan winter. We hope you'll be there to hear this great work.